103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Of 3.2 Dublin City FM. This is The Sod Show with Peter and Brian. I'm Brian and he's Peter. How are you, Peter?
Brian, how are you? Just for those who aren't aware, we're not in Studio 4, we're in Studio 1, and we're back where it all began some 5 years ago, our fifth anniversary, etc., etc. But you are actually behind a pane of glass.
So I'm in the control room and you're in Studio 2.
My own. This is really unusual. And I'm sitting in your chair.
Yeah. Listen, we've no time to mess tonight. We are getting straight down to business. But if you do want to tweet us while we're on air, we're at Sod Show on Twitter. Peter, who have we got today?
On the show today, we have the Don, the main, I was going to say the main man, but it's not the main man. It is the lady, the chosen one, Anne-Marie Powell. How are you?
Oh, I'm the chosen lady, apparently, Peter, so I'm delighted.
Oh, brilliant. Hey, come here, let's break this down, if we can, just for a slight bit, because you are probably the most famous lady of the horticultural world that I would know or have spoken to in the last while in horticultural terms. Is that a fair way to describe you, Anne-Marie?
I think that's a very generous way to describe me. So, very, very generous. So, but yeah, bring it on. Tell me more.
Well, I don't know. I'm the host, and you're being interviewed. So, you tell me more. Let's change this around ever so slightly. What is happening this year that has you in my radar so much more than maybe, let's say, last year?
Well, I'm really delighted to say that I'm designing the RHS's official garden at the Chelsea Flair Show this year. So. Absolutely honoured and very excited about the whole shebang. It's just a wonderful opportunity to bring horticulture to so many people. So, yeah, delighted.
To change things ever so slightly, do you remember the scene where Bruce Springsteen took the girl up by the hand and brought her on stage? That, to me, is the horticultural equivalent. You are, there's
Courtney
only...
Courtney Love.
Yeah, Courtney Love indeed. Thanks, Brian, for jumping in.
But you're
the modern-day Courtney Love of horticulture.
Not Courtney Love, it was the other one.
No, it was
Courtney Cox,
whichever.
Wrong one.
Yeah.
I prefer Courtney Love, actually. So I think that's far more me than Courtney Cox, I have to say. So.
You're surprising me. Let's take this on a serious note. For those who may not know you, Anne-Marie, for those who are, let's say, closet gardeners or armchair gardeners like our very own Brian Green, you are famed, I guess, on our television screens as having presented.
Yeah, I presented a lot, actually. So before I had my boys, I probably did about 6 years on Channel 4 presenting things like all sorts of things, the gardeners' gardens, real gardens, lost gardens. They all have gardens in the title, so I did get rather confused. and then when I had my children, I kind of took a break for a bit, really, and concentrated on the design. And, the last 3 or 4 years, we've been doing lots of coverage of the Chelsea and Hampton Court Flair shows and the great Chelsea Garden Challenge last year with my brilliant mates, Joe Swift and James Alexander Sinclair. So I've been doing a fair bit of telly again, so which has been wonderful and a great kind of compliment to the business. So, yeah.
Where did it all start for you, Anne-Marie? Because I think a lot of, if you don't mind me saying this, and this I don't mean this in any way controversial, I've got four sisters, as everybody on who listens to the show would well know at this stage of the game, but you know, it's slightly unusual, if you don't mind me saying, I haven't, or to put it maybe a little bit better, I haven't seen that many ladies make it to the very top of the top in horticultural circles. Is that a fair way to describe it? Is that a fair thing to say?
I think you're probably right, and I would love to know why that is, to be honest. I mean, it is hard work running a business, I have to say. You'd be the best garden designer in the world, but if you can't run a business, then you're not going to get anywhere. So, and it's a long, hard slog, it really is. So, and I think sometimes, you know, men have always, in my opinion, or not always, but a lot of the time, they get a lot more opportunities available to them. So you have to push yourself out there, I suppose. So, and me not being forwards and coming backwards, or backwards and coming forwards, I've just carried on doing what I love, and people have noticed and want to see what I'm up to. So it's a really good position to be in, because I absolutely love what I do. So, and I just hope that other people, that what I can do can kind of like really infuse them into something that I love, because I really honestly don't feel like I work really. So, but
wow.
I do work a lot of the time. So, so I'm in an enviable position really. So yeah.
You're in a very enviable position indeed. You had me almost slightly tongue twisted there, Anne-Marie, first woman in national history ever to achieve that. Let's take this a slight bit to the right hand side if we can. The garden that you're doing in Chelsea, what is that about? What's the thinking behind it?
So it does have a really serious message about it, and I really do love designing show gardens which have messages and have a reason for being. So, and the IHS have a wonderful campaign which is Green in Grey Britain, and I'm sure you're aware, as so many of us are,
very.
That we're just losing so much green space in our cities, and certainly in the last 10 years, we've lost so much of our front garden spaces. So, you know, just driving around towns and even the countryside, actually, you just see more and more cars parked on front garden spaces. And I can understand why people do that. So there is a need with kind of rising parking charges and councils, you know, putting yellow lines on roads and all the rest of it. And I'm not adverse to that, but what I am adverse to is that we're losing our plants. So planning regulations really kind of look after the car, but they don't look after our plants. So, and when people are paving over front gardens, they chuck the plants out, you know?
Mm.
So, and that changes the whole kind of look and aesthetic of our gardens and our cities, actually, and has huge effects on the environment as well. Things like climate, urban heat islands, pollution is higher, and you know, it's and wildlife, it's very, very detrimental, and I just don't think people realise that.
I think there was a blog post that I had written a number of years ago, and there was some oddball stat that I managed to pull out of some article, I can't remember when, and I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, Anne-Marie, but was it that 17 hectares of land, of front driveway spaces, when you add them all up, it came to approximately that were being concreted in per year just for the extra car parking space, is what you're kind of saying. Because, and don't get me wrong, I know horticulture, and in particular Chelsea Flower Show, may turn, let's say, the likes of Brian off. He would be maybe more akin to watching snooker, let's say, just to put that in context. So he mightn't say, well, there's an identification, I can identify with that, or I can relate to this bit. But yours is kind of like a big, huge banner, living poster campaign for, in particular, the man who only has enough space to put a window box in his front garden or enough space to park one car. And what you're saying is, listen, you can go and look at this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you can go and look at this garden that I've made with a very large budget, I'll buy to the highest level, that's most likely going to win gold and best in show, because we like you, Anne-Marie. But out of watching this poster, you can take this little tiny piece out of it and maybe do that in your own back garden. Is that what you're trying to get across?
Absolutely. I tell you, I really wanted this garden to be an everyman's space. So, you know, not all of us, I mean, I don't have a huge budget to spend on my garden at home. So, and I really wanted anybody that actually came to the show and looked at the garden to think, you know, I could do that. I love that plant. I remember it from when I was a youngster. It reminds me of my granddad. You know, no matter what kind of planting you're into, there should be a style within quite a large space, actually. It's inspired by front gardens, but it's broken down into lots of little sections. So there's nothing pretentious or hugely difficult about the space. And there is an underlying theme as well. It's not just the Green and Grey Britain campaign, but it is health, happiness and horticulture. So gardens make you healthy. You know, they're full of horticulture. My God, they make you happy. So it's a really bright, colourful space. It's a bit hackneyed, that phrase now, isn't it? That, you know, the public loves a bit of colour. So, you know, I thought I'm just going to sock it to them. So it's a huge mix of orange and purples and blues, of just the most floriferous plants that you can think of, really. So, and we have a vegetable garden for those kind of growing nuts. There are epiphytes, cacti. There should be something to please everybody. And I think it's the only garden at Chelsea, and it might be the first one, actually, where you can actually get on the garden. So I was determined that the garden be a walk-through space. So, because, you know, having had gardens at Chelsea and having presented from Chelsea for a number of years, you just don't fully get the atmosphere of a garden unless you're in it. And everybody's looking from the outside. And it was essential to me with this garden that the public could get in and experience what I've been so lucky to experience for a number of years now. So So, yeah, you can walk through the garden, which I'm delighted the RHS have agreed to.
Did you find that was a little bit of a compromise, Anne-Marie, if you don't mind me asking?
No.
To clarify the question, when let's say, for example, you take something that you want everybody at home and to be able to take a little bit out of, and also when you take a theme like Green and Grey Britain, which I guess the My Dads, the Brian Greens will or should hopefully be able to identify with and take a little bit of something from, does having that kind of agenda almost written down for you, as versus, let's say, on the left-hand side, you turning around saying, I have a great concept, I'm going to put this together, I'm going to submit it as an application to the Royal Horticultural Society, and hopefully they will accept it. In this case, it was, you might say, bestowed upon you. Did you find that a bit of a challenge?
No, I mean, I've been designing gardens now for 20 years, so every single client that we see gives you some kind of brief, and you take your own spin on that brief, but you are delivering a garden that client wants. So we do pride ourselves in our studio that we don't have a deliberate Emery Powell garden style, and a lot of my friends, other garden designers will say, I can spot one of your gardens a mile off, but I do try and kind of, keep it quite unique to any given brief and any given client. And that's exactly what I've done with the RHS. They came to me with this brief of Green and Grey Britain and health, horticulture and happiness.
Yeah,
and it was an absolute delight to interpret it. And I was very nervous when I gave my design presentation to them. So, they are such a hugely influential, important organisation in all of our horticulturalist lives, aren't they? So I can't tell you how nervous I was when I was up there at Vincent Square showing them the initial design. But they came on board because it is slightly unusual for them, because it's quite a contemporary scheme, but it has its feet in the traditional pattern on so many levels. But they loved it, and I've so enjoyed the process of working with them and trying to interpret as many of the messages they want to get across through the garden design and over to the general public, because those messages are things that I entirely believe in, and I think ask any gardener, they would believe in those messages too. So to be able to interpret it for them has been an absolute honour, a privilege and a delight. So I just hope I can pull it off for them and please as many people and impact as many non-gardeners as possible to just kind of think about plants before they think about paving. The figures are horrific, they really are. So you were saying about these huge areas, I mean, one in four gardens now is nearly completely paved over in the UK, and one in three front gardens has no front garden plants at all. It's just absolutely crazy.
Above anything else, Anne-Marie, I would say this. Of course, I would, as a guy who studied horticulture and grew plants under his bed. But you've got a point where, to be quite honest, they remind me of doctor surgeries inside and outside when it's entirely concreted in. It's a little bit lifeless and a little bit soulless. And I know on one hand, I listen to moms in particular say they don't want large trees in their back garden because, little Johnny might climb up it and fall out of it. And I'm kind of saying, well, what's the alternative? They just want them to do, sideways roly-polies.
On the flip reverse, though, Peter, saying that, I have my mother, I've got a 6-year-old and 11-year-old, two boys, and I'm not advocating everyone grow a massive tree that's completely out of proportion in their front gardens. But when I was little, I remember front gardens, my parents, my granny, lived in a really working-class area of Leeds. So, and I can remember my granddad still having his lawn. It was so small he could cut it with nail clippers. And, I remember front gardens as a kid. And now, with my kids going around towns, I just think how blooming miserable that they are just deserts of grey, essentially. So, and I just don't want my kids and my kids' kids or your kids or your friends' kids growing up in an environment which is like that, really. So it's just, there's so much paving over that it's just detrimental to so many different levels. So I want them to be drawing that picture. This is what I think about when I think about what I'm trying to do and the RHS is trying to do. Those pictures that we used to draw when we were kids, where you'd have a very rudimental house, and then you'd have a path going straight up to the middle to your front door. Each side there'd be grass, and there'd be a couple of trees in your drawing. And that whole kind of thing that we just, that was what we naturally drew when we drew a picture of our house. it's just not true anymore for so many children. And I think it's terrible.
What do you think is going to change this, Anne-Marie? Because on one hand, let's break this down. I know about 2 years ago, we aired a show where we interviewed basically non-gardening children who were, we met in an allotment. This was all obviously pre-arranged and their folks were there and the whole lot of it. But we kind of asked them why and did they watch the gardening television programmes. And I know there's a whole thing, we've spoke with James Wong about this before, and we've spoke to some of the gardeners who work with Perennial, absolutely brilliant charity in the UK, before about this as well. But you've got on one hand those inverted commas, they'll always be old to me, even if I'm still a little bit older and taller and able to vote and drive a car. But, you know, I remember kicking a ball into their garden and they'd kind of, that angry man from the cartoon who'd shake his fist at you, and you're kind of going, well, I don't want to be one of them because they're always grumpy. And I remember a gardener friend of mine, we were walking past a garden that was entirely concreted in, and I said, Jesus, that looks shite. To use the horticultural term, my apologies, Anne-Marie. And he said...
on the radio, I just love it.
It's an affectionate Irish term in memory of the dear passing of Father Jack of Recent from Father Ted.
Right, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Or as Mrs. Doyle would say, it's not the bad feck, it's the good feck, if you want to call it that. But in context, I remember Niall saying to me, he said, I bet you he used to kick a ball into his garden when he was younger, and the gardener man used to shake his fist at him, as in, so he just went the opposite side and concreted in the whole thing. Where does it come back down to in your thinking, from the Green and Grey Britain, from, I guess...
Legislation. I mean, it's legislation, essentially. I mean, you know, there were permitted developments permitted development rights in about 2008, when you were able, there was legislation that said that you couldn't put any form of impermeable paving into a front garden without planning permission. So, but it isn't properly policed as a thing. Local councils don't have the funding to kind of police all of these developments that have taken place. And there's no legislation that protects our plants unless you live in a conservation area or you have a tree preservation order on a certain tree. So, you know, just recently, actually, and the IHS let me know about this, was the London Assembly that advises the mayor and government of London only, they've actually said that there should be legislation that now looks after our plants and putting the plants back in, you know, putting the gardening back into front gardens, essentially. So people are starting to kind of, at a higher level, not just horticulturalists, realise that this is impacting upon so many different things, as you know, politically as well. So, and it's just the start of that, and we just got to keep on shouting about it. So, because otherwise there won't be any change, and you know, and it is legislation, I think, that will govern and help us, as I say, get the front gardens back into our front gardens, essentially.
Do you walk past gardens? I know I asked Darren Jack this question quite recently, but do you walk past front gardens, Anne-Marie, and kind of scratch your head and say, oh God, I can't believe they planted that.
Oh my God, yeah, all the time. I do that everywhere I go. You must have that whole thing. I know you are into your plans, so you must have that whole thing where you're walking along the street and you just got the Latin, just it's like a kind of a second personality going on your head. You're just going, you know, listening, da 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 da, and then you come up to something and you think, blimey, what is that? And that can be a really good thing or a really shocking thing. So, yeah, absolutely. Do you know what offends me most about front gardens, though?
Go ahead.
Is when, as far as plants are concerned, if we're talking about that, is when you see somebody that's planted a tree and they've obviously bought it in the garden centre, so it's got pretty flowers or whatever, and it grows into something like a giant mimosa, and then the tree is just hacked to, you know, smithereens and has no shape or form and just looks absolutely butchered. I hate that the most. That's the thing. It's cruelty to trees in front gardens. You see it so often, and it's just, oh, it really, oh, I hate it. It makes sense. My skin just shivering, can't bear it.
What grinds Anne-Marie Powell's gears? We're going to start a new radio show, Anne-Marie, and you're the star of it. Bring me all the way back, Anne-Marie. And this is the question that I am always asked. Were your parents gardeners? Were you a gardener? Did you grow plants under your bed? Did you work in a garden centre when you were 2.5 months old?
No. No, absolutely not. I mean, my mother is would probably, if she was able and didn't have me as a daughter, would be the worst offender of paving over front gardens, I tell you. So when I was growing up, she would say to me things like, the best front garden is a paved one, so is a concreted one. Completely non-green fingered as whatsoever. And my dad, I always remember being very young, and my dad doing that whole, he started to grow some seedlings, and I remember it very clearly. And he did that whole walking in the garden and standing on the rake thing and then it coming up and smashing him in the face. I never saw him. The air was blue and I've never, ever seen him garden again. However, my granddad was a very keen gardener. And, you know, to be fair, my mum and dad, they were very young when they had me. And my dad was in the army, so we moved every 2 years. So, and that probably is another reason why I am such a keen gardener, because I wanted to create a landscape of my own. But I had very happy times with my granddad at his allotment. So, and just seeing him grow food and just being able to be outside in the environment. And I've always loved being outdoors. You know, we'd get kicked out from the age of like 8 or 9 out to play, and I'd just be out loving the landscape, you know, from dawn till dusk. So,
Did you go to college, Anne-Marie? Did you study horticulture?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I went to Capel Manor in Enfield. So, what really kicked me off with gardening really was I always wanted to create these landscapes. So, and I did get a house when I was very young with an ex-boyfriend. and we went travelling, and again, it was the natural landscape that really kind of switched me on. So just seeing what Mother Nature does so beautifully in New Zealand, India, all of, you know, those places that some who are lucky enough as I to travel kind of in gap years and things. And I decided I wanted to ditch the course that I was on, which is textiles, and just come back and train in garden design. So I took loads of career advice, and it kept on coming up as a subject. So I went back to college when I was about, I don't know, 23, 24. And I was young then on my course. It was a very strange thing. And I remember my dad actually telling everyone that I was going to be a farmer, because he had absolutely no understanding of what on earth I was doing whatsoever. So, yeah, my daughter's going to be a farmer. And it's like, no, I'm going to be a garden designer, Dad. And he said, what is that?
Oh, my God.
That isn't even a thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just fell in love with Mother Nature when I was travelling. It'd been kind of, she'd been in there all the time anyway. So, and I just haven't stopped really. And
no.
My other half is now a gardener as well.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
I brought him to the dark side. So he had a job up in Old Street in London with his nice Paul Smith suit and everything. And now I've taken him to the dark side. It's much more fun.
Anne-Marie, there's a lot of, I won't say just ladies, but ladies and gentlemen who would look up to you and will see you this coming June on latter end of May, isn't it? The last week of May is Chelsea?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to see you on the big screen, and to be fair, the BBC does that. I mean, the coverage on that is just so brilliant. It's absolutely
so
beautiful.
Oh,
it's amazing, and I don't know how they make people like me look so good on the television. It's I'm not joking, right? That's another day's work, or how they're going to, says you. But for those who are listening who are 6-7 years of age in podcast and are listening to you talking, what advice do you have for the younger, the under tens, the guys, the little kids like me who used to do that thing under the bed or on top of the attic or goofing around in the back garden? What advice do you have for them?
Join a gardening club, get to meet other gardeners, because as you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, creed, colour, race, whatever, and how much money you've got, when you're a gardener, you've got something in common with everybody, so you're into the same thing, and it's just so wonderful to speak to anybody who's got more knowledge than you. And, you know, I've just been on the phone to Guy Barter, who's the chief horticulturalist at the RHS, and I could literally listen to him for hours, all day and all night, just talking about plants. So for a child, I think, you know, it's gardens, but gardens aren't just about plants. They're about people. That's why we grow. They're about people. And but to kind of learn from other people is the most lovely, natural thing for a child to be doing. So, and it's something that I encourage with my children as well. So, yeah, just get talking to your local gardening group, and then you might be the next RHS Young Ambassador. Who knows?
Anne-Marie, Brian here. He's had all the questions today, so I'd love to know, when you're not in business and when you're not in the garden, what are you doing?
I love live music. So I love a festival. I love staying up very late and drinking far too much.
Anne-Marie, I am telling you, tell your husband I'm on my way. He's to leave the house. I've got a crate of Guinness. So we're moving in together, darling. This is going to work out brilliant.
I'm up for them. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm booking a flight.
And musically, if we've any seconds left in the program, what will we play out with? What would you like to hear?
Oh goodness me! Anything by the Yeah Yeahs.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
We can manage that. Anne-Marie, if people want to get in touch, if people want to get in touch with you, you are on the Twitter thing?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, Anne-Marie Powell. So, yeah, do get in touch. I love nothing better than hearing from other gardeners. So, yeah, I'm literally obsessed, possessed by gardening.
You are indeed. Oh, my God, what can I say? This has been a long time coming in the pipeline. We've been working on this one for some time. We eventually got her on the show. With huge, huge, huge thanks to the team in the Royal Horticultural Society, Ed and Co, working to make this happen. Anne-Marie Powell, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real genuine pleasure.
And it's been a treat for me as well. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. And the number one gardening tool on sale in DIY stores in Dublin this week, Peter, can you guess?
No.
Telescopic secateurs.
How do you know these random things?
I know this random thing because the election posters have to come down off the poles, so they're chopping them down with a telescope.
I knew we'd get politics in there somewhere. Okay, listen, from the studios of Dublin City FM, you'll find the Sideshow in podcast on Twitter at Sideshow. If you're stuck in the future for this or any of the shows, the entire back catalogue is there. The Sideshow on Facebook, sideshow.com.
We're playing out with Yeah Yeahs and Maps. Take care. See you next week at 3. Bye bye.
So long. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.